Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
If you have your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 4, please. Gospel of Mark chapter 4. I'm excited this morning to kick off our new summer series. We are going to take the next 9 Sundays together, God willing, and we are going to focus every Sunday for the next 9 Sundays on nothing but the words of Jesus. How many of you think that those might be some of the most important words we could ever think about? And so, and by the way, 9 weeks, we're not even going to come close to covering all of that. But I wanted to take the summer and look at some of the parables that Jesus told when he was here on this earth. And there are lots and lots and lots of parables that he told, and we've chosen a handful that we're going to look at together over these next 9 weeks. And I really hope that as it was the desire of our Lord when he told these parables, that they would point the listeners to a higher understanding, a higher meaning about the kingdom of God than just the parable itself. I hope that that will be true for us during these next 9 Sundays together. This morning, we're going to start with the parable that I think is probably the starting place because it lays for us a foundation of understanding about all the other parables that are to come. And I think this parable is so important, in fact, that I decided to take the first 2 Sundays and look at this particular one. Above your Bible there in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, you may have a sort of a subheading. So a couple of you, just somebody just kind of read out. What does yours say? The parable of the sower. Anybody have anything different? I heard the word soils. Over here, soil as well? 4 soils. Excellent. And anybody have anything about the seed listed in there? Scattered seed. Interesting. Well, did you know that in your Bible, when our Bible was originally written, it did not have chapter divisions or verse divisions, and it did not have any of the headings and subheadings that we have in our Bible. We know that, right? Can you imagine standing up and wanting to teach from somewhere in the middle of Isaiah's scroll and not having chapter and verse divisions? How would we find it? It would be unbelievably hard. But one thing to keep in mind is that while all of those things have been added many years later as helps to us to sort of navigate our way through Scripture, those are not part of Scripture. Those are just man's helps, and they're fine. There are a couple of places in the Bible where I think those subheadings just really kind of miss the mark. One is, we're going to look at this later in the summer, the parable of the talents. Some Bibles say Jesus talks about money, and that is completely missing the mark. He's talking about so much more than money in that parable. And here in most versions of the Bible, in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and also over in Luke 8 when Luke shares this same parable, they put the subheading in there, the parable of the sower. Here's what you need to know. This parable is not about the sower. It's not at all about the sower. It is about, first of all, the seed, and then primarily the meat of the parable is about the soil, the 4 types of soil, and that's what we're going to focus on next week is the soil. And today I want us to think about the seed and what that means. So let's look at some of these verses together that Jesus spoke. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Can you picture that? So many crowds pursuing Jesus that they pressed him and pressed him and pressed him with his back to the water's edge, crowding in to hear what he had to say, that he had to get into a boat and push out a little bit from the shore and teach this parable. I would have loved to have been there to have seen that and to hear his voice echoing off the water. Verse 2, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, listen. How many of you think that if Jesus is about to tell us something and he takes the time to stop and say, listen, might be important? Listen, he said. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed, and some fell along the path. Now, I encourage you to mark in your Bible, if you have a pen, I'm going to give you a couple of keywords to underline that will help you visually outline this parable, and it will help you an awful lot in months and years to come. Okay, verse 4, let me back up. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, underline the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, underline rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, underline among thorns, there's your third place, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, underline good soil. It came up, it grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Now, as I said, I want to take a few minutes this morning and focus on the seed. Now, this is not going to be one of those messages where people feel like running up and down the aisles. Not that we do that here, but you know what I mean. This is not going to be one of those messages where people feel like swinging off the chandeliers and hooping and hollering. This is a practical meat and potatoes message today. Can you guys handle that for one Sunday? This is so important, what we're going to talk about. It is so important. I think the reason sometimes we miss some of the foundational, truly structural things that will help us gain an understanding of so much other scripture is because maybe some of these topics like we're going to talk about today seem like, well, we could just kind of skip that. But this is vital to have an understanding of what Jesus is trying to say to those people listening and to us today. In verse 3, Jesus said, a farmer went out to sow seed. Now, jump ahead to verse 14. Jesus begins to give an explanation of the parable to explain to his listeners what he meant. And next week we're going to dive into this. But in verse 14, somebody share with me what Jesus said there. The farmer sows the what? The word. Now, verse 3, Jesus said the farmer sows the seed. Verse 14, now he's beginning to give the explanation of this parable, and he said, the farmer sows the word. Now, Luke, in his rendition of this parable, in Luke 8:11, added just a little more understanding for us, and he said, the farmer sows the word of God. Now, anybody tell me what the word of God is, as we know it today? It's what? The Bible. The Bible. This is why it is so important for us to understand what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Because he's not telling us about seeds and farmers and soil and plants. That's not the point of his message at all. The point of his message and the point of all his parables are to aim us at a higher understanding of something. And if we go through life as Christians without truly understanding the power that resides in this book, we will be off base for everything we try to do in our Christian life. Do we truly understand what is contained inside these two leather covers. I hope that after today, we will have a greater understanding and a deeper appreciation. Here are four things that I jotted down that I want to share with you. I want to try to show you this morning four similarities between the seed in the parable and the Word of God. Number one, both the seed and the Word of God have life within them. They have life within them. Now, many people try to dismiss the Bible as just another book, and how wrong they are. This book has life within it, just like seeds have life in them. You know, it's amazing, regardless of how long this book lays overlooked and ignored, it will always cause life to spring forth the moment that its covers are cracked open again. It can lie dormant for years and years and years in someone's life and never be used, but the moment they open it up and begin to read it and allow that seed to be sown into their life, they experience life, not biological life, but supernatural, spiritual life begins to spring forth. I was remembering a time when I was a boy and our family was traveling to and from different mission fields. My dad would always try to, if possible, allow us to go through different parts of the world to see different places in the world. And he gave us a tremendous understanding of world history just by doing that. I remember as a boy going through Egypt with my family and seeing one of the pharaohs embalmed there. And I noticed that with him in that that tomb place were all kinds of treasures and clay pots and gold and jewels and all. And I learned that when pharaohs were buried, they were buried with all kinds of their possessions, all kinds of treasures, because the people believed that when they died, they would step into the afterlife, and they didn't want this pharaoh to go into the afterlife empty-handed. So they buried him with all kinds of things. And we heard a story about one of these clay pots that was opened, and inside they found seeds. And these scientists and archaeologists took some of the seeds, and they planted them. You want to know what happened? They grew. These seeds had been sealed in this clay jar for thousands of years. They were taken out. They were planted in the soil, and they grew. Now, I don't know if anybody was brave enough to eat anything that grew on those. I certainly wouldn't have been. But the same is true with the Word of God. Inside seeds, there is life that lies dormant until it is placed in the right conditions and it begins to grow. There have been tyrants throughout history, whose goal in life it has been to completely destroy the Word of God and wipe it off the face of the earth. They should have read Isaiah 40, verse 8, which says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. Why does it stand forever? Why do we know for sure that this book will never ever be wiped off the face of the earth? Ever. Why do we know that? Because this is a supernatural book. It contains eternal life within it, and it will never be destroyed. Never. We need to know that this is more than just a book. It contains the power of life. Hebrews 4:12. We may have remembered hearing this verse when we were kids, and maybe we heard it in the old King James. It says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. You remember that? Great. I love that phrase. And when I was a kid and I heard that verse, I used to think, quick. How is the Word of God fast? Why is it so fast? Well, it was a misunderstanding of that word. See, some words that were put into the King James in 1611 have completely changed their meaning today. By the way, this is the 400th anniversary of that this year, which I think is pretty neat. But the word quick back then had an entirely different meaning than it does today. Have you heard the phrase, the quick and the dead? You know what that means? It means the living and the dead. The word quick back then meant life or alive. And so a great translation of that is probably what you have in your Bible in Hebrews 4:12. It says, the Word of God is living and active, or living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen, how many of you can testify to, at some point in your life, hopefully many times in your life, opening this book and feeling it pierce to the very depths of you? It is alive. It is alive and powerful. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe." This book is alive. Did you know that this is the only book I'm aware of that has ever been written that can never be exhausted through even an endless study of it? You can take this book and you can make it your mission in life to get up every morning of your life from now until you die and spend 8 hours every day studying the Bible. And you can do that for 50 years. And when you get to the end of that 50 years, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, I need more time. I'm not finished. Now, you name one other book that has ever been written that you could do that to. Pick any book you want. If I gave that book to you, and if I was a multimillionaire and I wanted to run an experiment, which I think would be awesome to do, and everybody could pick any book they wanted to, and I'd say, okay, your job is to spend 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, studying this book. After 1 year, you would come back to me begging and pleading, please give me another book. I can't read this one more day. I'm going to lose my mind. Why? Because you've exhausted it. And yet there are people who spend their entire life studying the Bible day after day after day. And every single one of them, when they get to the end of their life, they say, I feel like I'm just beginning. How is that possible, church? It's possible because this book is alive. Have you ever experienced this? You read a verse in the Bible one day, and God uses it to speak to you in a certain way for a certain need in your life at that moment. You read that same verse a year from now, or 5 years, or 10 years from now, and God uses it in a totally different way to speak to you in some way that you've never seen before. I'll tell you, I still get embarrassed sometimes as a pastor for reading the Bible and hitting a verse and go, how could I have never seen that before? You know, should I tell my church that I never saw that verse before? I mean, I read it, I saw it with my eyes, but I never saw it with my understanding and my heart. And so this Bible has the ability to shift and to change and to take shape with our lives. Wherever we are in life, whatever we're going through, God uses this living Word to speak to us. 1 Peter 1:23, the old Apostle Peter writing this said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of unperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." I want to tell you, this book has power and life within it. How do you explain how someone who is an absolute infidel, a thug, a murderer, a thief, a deceiver, a swindler, comes in contact with the Word of God and his life is transformed? And he spends the rest of his life as a loving, caring, gentle, giving person. How in the world do you explain that? You explain it in no other way other than to know that this book is alive and it has power within it. Can I just ask you a quick question before we move on to number two? With that in mind, and boy, have I skipped most of what I wanted to say there, but with that in mind, Are you keeping yourself connected to this life source? Or is the only time you think about the Bible on Sunday morning when you're racing out the door and you suddenly remember, oh man, I guess I better take my Bible. Where is it? And you go on a search, you know, that could make a TV adventure, you know, and you're looking all over the house. Where in the world did I put my Bible? Listen, folks, I've told you this before, and I say it with all sincerity. If the extent of your spiritual life, if the extent of your pursuit of God consists in coming here on Sunday morning to hear me teach, your boat is sunk. I'm going to tell you that. I cannot sustain your spiritual life. I urge you to make a practice of getting into this book during the week. It is your lifeline. It is your lifeline. It is living and powerful. Well, not only do both the seed and the Word of God have life within them, but secondly, both the seed and the Word of God have miraculous reproductive power. It's amazing how a handful of tiny seeds can produce a harvest of crop. And what incredible reproductive power there is also in the Word of God. The world today has a harvest of people who have sprung up from the Word of God. There are families here where the Word of God fell into the heart of the father or the mother or a child, and that Word began to multiply itself through that person's life and affect the other people in the family. And now today we have entire families in this church who have come to know the Lord because of that amazing reproductive power that is contained within the Word. Seeds themselves contain this incredible reproductive and multiplying power. I mean, you plant one seed of corn, and from that one seed will grow an entire stalk, taller than me sometimes. And on that stalk, there are multiple ears of corn. And on each of those ears of corn, there are dozens and dozens of seeds, each with the power to reproduce and recreate the whole process all over again. And this really is what Jesus is driving at in this parable when he's talking about the seed, the Word being sown and multiplying over and over again. It's amazing how one person can come to know Christ through hearing the Word of God. And in time, that one person has reproduced new life that was planted within them into the lives of others, who in turn multiply it into the lives of others. I've told you before, I'm kind of a geek. I'm not sure if I'm a geek or a nerd. I'm not really sure, but thank you, Ed. Nothing like feeling the support of the church. Wise guy. So anyway, I love charts and graphs and numbers and analyzing things and breaking things down. And that to me is just cool, to be able to get answers to things, okay? One of the things that I would love to be able to do, and just, you know, it'd be impossible until I get to heaven, is to somehow create a visual map of the network of souls who have come to know Christ through one person's efforts. I say that because there are so many stories that I know of one person who came to know Christ, who shared it with another person, who each of them shared it with other people, each of them shared it with other people, and you map that out over the course of a lifetime. It is staggering to think of the reproductive, multiplying capabilities of the power of the Word of God. Many, many years ago, about 65 years ago, there was a little Sunday school teacher in a tiny little church nestled back in the hills of Tennessee. Her name was Ruth Gifford. None of you have ever met her. None of you will ever meet her. She's in heaven. Ruth was not a professional Sunday school teacher, whatever that means. She was just an average, everyday woman like anybody else. And yet she felt the tug of God on her heart to share her faith with a little class full of rowdy Sunday school boys. Any of you ever teach a class of middle school boys? That's a riot. And there she was, week after week, faithfully sharing the Word of God that had been planted into her, into the lives of these little boys. Back in a church in the hills of Tennessee that nobody even knew about or cared about. On one particular Sunday, there was a boy sitting in that classroom, carving his initials in the back of the pew in front of him with his pocket knife. And the Holy Spirit spoke to that little teacher and said, "Dismiss the class early and go back and speak to that boy." That's exactly what she did. She went back and sat on the little pew there next to that boy who had come from a very, very difficult home. And she put her arm around him and she lovingly spoke to him and she shared Christ with him. And she said, "I want you to know how much I love you and care for you and care about your future and how much more Jesus cares about you and has a life for you." And she shared the Word of God with that little boy, and that boy opened his heart and received Christ. No big deal, really, on the scale of things. That boy grew up and surrendered his life to go to the mission field to preach the gospel. And he went. And he served on multiple mission fields during his lifetime and preached the gospel to untold thousands of people around the world. And it was on a Sunday night in November 1972 that man sat beside me in South Africa. And he led me to Christ. That man is my father. And I have had the privilege of leading both of my children to Christ. And I stand before you today preaching the Word of God to you, which is falling onto your ears and through the miracle of technology is falling onto the ears and into the hearts of thousands of people right now around the planet who we hear from. Are you following this pattern? Because of the faithfulness of one unknown Sunday school teacher, the lives of thousands and thousands of people have been changed, not the least of which is mine. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God has powerful, powerful reproductive ability. Jesus said in verse 8, the seed produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. We need to remember that a seed always brings about something more abundant than itself. So can I ask you, what are you doing with the seed that has been entrusted to you? Maybe you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Can I ask you a very personal question? Who are you discipling? Are you passing the seed on to anyone else? Are you reproducing this into the lives of any others? I need to move on quickly. Number 3, both the seed and the Word of God have to be sown if anything is to happen. Seed left unsown comes to nothing. Bibles that sit in homes across our country and are unopened and unread will have no impact on the lives of those people. Just like seed that is unsown will have no results. At LifePoint, we still believe in the preaching of the Word of God. You know why? Because it's through the proclamation of the Word of God that the seed is sown and that lives are changed. Heaven help us if we ever decide to take the proclamation of the Word of God and put it on a back shelf in order to do more entertainment for people. Heaven help us. I'll tell you, if I die and this church goes that route, I'll come back and haunt you. I'm telling you right now. I will. You can count on it. Okay? The proclamation of the Word of God must remain front and center in the church, or we have completely missed our mark. Completely missed our mark. Doesn't matter how many big screens we have. Doesn't matter how much smoke we have on the stage. Doesn't matter how many brilliant musicians we have sliding across the stage on their knees. It doesn't matter what kind of children's programs we have and whether we drop 50,000 Easter eggs over Greenville. Listen, listen. If we get away from preaching the Word of God, we've missed the boat.
Amen.
We've missed the boat. The Word of God has to be sown. And it's not just my job to do that. My job is to equip you to do that. I encourage you to look for opportunities on an average, mundane, boring day. Just look for opportunities. Say, God, would you give me a chance to help sow this seed into the lives of others? Well, let's just go on to the fourth point. I'll skip the rest of that. And we'll maybe touch on some of that next week. Number four, both the seed and the Word of God depend on good soil in order to grow. Now, this is really what we're going to get into next week, and this is so, so important. Poor soil means poor growth. There's a family on Hudson Road over near where we live. They have a little house there and a little plot of land beside their house. And we've lived there for many years. I mean, we're up and down that road probably 30 or 40 times a week, buzzing in and out of there. And every year at the same time, we see that man get out his tractor, and he starts plowing that field beside his house, preparing the soil. And when my kids were real little and they cared about stuff like that, I would always kind of slow down. I'd say, look, kids, there he is. He's plowing the ground. You know what he's doing? He's getting the soil ready. And then he would plant the seeds, and weeks would go by, and we'd go by one day, and all of a sudden you'd see these little green shoots popping up out of the soil. And I'd say, look, kids, look, it's starting to come up. And they'd get all excited, and they don't get that excited anymore about that. But and I drove by this morning on my way over here, and I looked to my right, and sure enough, there it was, man, this garden that was just exploding with life. Stalks of corn that were probably as tall as me. Now, there's no farmer in his right mind who would ever dream of taking life-giving seed and spreading it onto an unplowed field. You know why? Because he knows that seed must have good soil in order to bring forth an abundant crop. In this parable, Jesus says there are four types of soil, but only one brings forth a good crop. Only the soil that has been plowed to remove the hardness. Only soil where rocks have been carried away. And only soil where weeds and thorns have been removed. And you know, it strikes me that in any gathering of people, those numbers, those percentages are probably still about right. You know, it's just another proof of the Bible's validity to me. That it's so honest in its own presentation that Jesus said, listen, here's the thing. This message that I'm teaching to you is the message of life. But that being the case, you need to know that about one out of four people will even receive it. Remember what Jesus said? He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Are you among the few today? Are you among the ones who have heard the Word of God, who have received the Word of God? And what are you doing to try to plant that seed into the soil of other people's lives? The seed of God's Word will only bring forth an abundant crop if it has the right kind of soil to grow in. Let me just try to wrap this up by asking some questions. Is God's Word having any reproductive effect in your life? When you're gone from this earth and your life is over, will there be anybody left behind who can point to you and say, that person brought life to me? And in view of next week's message, let me ask you this. Have you prepared, and are you preparing, the soil of your heart to be ready to receive the Word of God. When you come here on Sundays, and I know Sunday mornings are absolutely crazy. Sunday mornings are always the morning when the kids knock over the glass of chocolate milk on your khaki pants right before you're heading out the door. It's when the dog bites the neighbor. It's when you have a flat tire. It's when all those things happen on Sunday morning. But how do you prepare your heart before you come here on Sunday morning? Do you just kind of slide in here like somebody stealing home and just kind of barely get in and go, "All right, Phil, you better have a good one today because I really need it"? You know, we've all done that from time to time. But how much better it would be if we took time to prepare our hearts before we ever step through these doors to say, "God, I yield the soil of my heart to you today. What is it that you need to plant in me? What is it that you need to do in my life?" It's my prayer today that through this very, very simple message, really for for all of us, but for our students, I have a tremendous desire for the students of this church to grow up with a deep respect and admiration for the Word of God. This is the foundation of your life. For all of us, it is. How do you view this book? Do you see it as your life source, as the one place you can go in life to find the hope and the help and the direction that you need to get through life? I encourage you this week, church, as I have so many times, I encourage you to make it a discipline in your life, make it a habit in your life to begin, if you're not, to begin spending time in God's Word throughout the week. It will change your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the power of your Word, which is still alive and well today, all these years after it has been written. I thank you for the way that the power of this seed has changed lives throughout history and continues to do so today. And God, I just pray as your Word goes forth, as seeds scattered into the hearts of people, I pray, God, it would find good soil in which to land. And I pray that it would bring forth a crop, a harvest of reproductive power to impact the lives of those around us. God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for those who have fought over the years to preserve this Word, even at the cost of their own life. God, thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.